Joining me on the August edition of Our Town is Aileen Sapp, and I've been familiar with Aileen for many years now under different circumstances, and we found out that we kind of knew, well, we had a similar interaction here with your family members, Beth McDermott.
Yes. Which
I guess her name's different now.
No, it is McDermott.
Oh, back to McDermott. Mm-hmm. And you are her sister's daughter.
Yes.
And we found this out, I don't know, remember, I guess Beth had told me about you and we had met and didn't realize you were related with Tim Sapp, too. So that's kind of how that went there.
Mm-hmm.
But you're here for a couple of reasons today. And I want to start off first. Let's talk about a need that a friend of yours has and someone that that you know, Janelle O'Connor. Talk a little bit about that situation there.
So in my son is going into seventh grade now, and in fifth grade, he came home with a friend, and eventually we found out that his mom was in kidney failure. And it's hard to have someone in your house all the time that you love and care for and not also be concerned for the rest of their family. And she has a great need right now. She's at 5% kidney function. She is getting on the transplant list, so I am doing my best to put the word out. It would be great to find a live kidney donor, and if people aren't willing to donate a kidney, which I understand is a really big ask, then donate to her GoFundMe, which is going to help her cover her medical costs that aren't covered by her insurance. So,
now my understanding is that a live person can give a portion of their liver. It's one of the unique places in our body that we can actually give a portion rather than having to give up the whole thing.
It is, but she needs a kidney though.
Oh, kidney. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you are correct about the liver.
I'm sorry. For some reason I had liver on my brain.
You've got lots of information.
But do have two kidneys.
Yes, exactly.
So we can give up one kidney.
You absolutely can. And actually the outcomes are really fantastic for live donors. You're out of the hospital within a few days. There's rarely any complications. And they do all kinds of testing beforehand. So they make sure that you're absolutely in tip-top shape before they even consider it.
So is this a kidney disease that she has, or is it just a genetic thing?
Yeah, it's just a genetic malformation, actually. She just led a normal life until she became very, very ill in late 2018, early 2019. She went to the hospital and they just straight told her that you're going to die. Like when they did her blood work and checked her out, they're like, no, you're dying. And eventually they figured out it was her kidneys and got her on dialysis. And that did save her life, absolutely saved her life at that time. And she has been on dialysis since then. So it's been 4.5 years.
And she's obviously not that old. I mean,
no, she's a few years younger than me. I think she's 42. And yeah, she has a single mom of two kids. She has a child in middle school and a child at the high school.
How does somebody get in touch with them or with her GoFundMe page?
That is a great question. I have put it up on my personal page. If anyone wants to talk to me, they can call me at TR Hunter, drop off donations at TR Hunter. I'm going to make her own Facebook page, which I should have done before we came on here this morning. And it will be Janelle's Kidney Transplant Fund.
Okay. And that's pretty easy to find. You can just search that probably in the Facebook section or
yes.
That, like that there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit now. You are not unfamiliar with kidney issues as well. I think it was probably 2000 when I learned about your aunt's condition, polycystic kidney disease. Mm-hmm. And we had planned on having someone from the PKD Foundation to speak with us today and let us know how the research was going and how things were. But talk a little bit about this. Now, I'm imagining it's the adult genetic
yes.
versus the children's?
Correct.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the disease itself.
So there is a genetic defect on one of our chromosomes, and it leads to cysts growing on our kidneys. And when the cysts grow in and on the kidney, it's replacing normal healthy kidney tissue. and therefore reducing the amount that the kidney can work. And so a normal healthy kidney is about the size of a fist, and our kidneys can grow to be the size of footballs each. So imagine two footballs you've got in your abdomen. They can be up to 30 pounds each when eventually they get removed. It slowly, generally really slowly, reduces your kidney function until you reach about 20% and they start discussing transplant. And if that's not an option, then the other choice is dialysis. As of now, there is no cure. There's no medicine that helps dramatically. There's all kinds of studies happening, like you said. Hopefully we'll learn more about those, but there's just nothing to be done at this point.
Not of the size itself, but it's also very painful, right? I mean, it's something that you have to have a lot of pain tolerance in order to deal with it.
Yes, and it was interesting because the first bunch of years, apparently the kidneys themselves don't have nerves in them, and so when they were learning about this and people would complain about pain, they're like, you're full of it. The kidneys don't have nerves. How are you feeling pain? But really you're, it's almost like, the best way I can describe it is being in your third trimester of pregnancy. You've got a bunch of stuff in there that's taking up space, that's reducing your lung capacity, that's reducing your stomach capacity, that's putting pressure on all of your insides. And so it's not necessarily, I think, the kidneys themselves that hurt. It's everything they touch, which is everything. And so even doing something simple like bending over becomes quite painful when things get squished, or twisting and turning, those things become painful. And there are a few lucky people that don't have pain with this, but there are most do.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you can trace this back at least to your grandmother, correct?
Yes, I believe we can trace it back to, we don't have any testing for it, but my grandmother's aunt passed away from an aneurysm, and that is one of the things that is correlated with PKD. So we were guessing that she had untreated high blood pressure with the kidney disease and had an aneurysm. So, but definitely with my grandma.
And then your aunt, your mother, and their other sister as well.
Other sister does not have it, but one brother did.
Oh, one brother did. Mm-hmm. Okay. Was your mom taken because of PKD, or was that a different?
No, it definitely was that. She was the first one in our family to realize that something was not quite right with her body. So that would have been near 35 years ago. And they finally did an ultrasound and discovered it in her. And she had enormous amount of pain. She was such a slight woman, I think, that there wasn't any room for those growing kidneys. There was nowhere for them to go. She was just such a small boned little thing. And the pain was just, day in and day out, just unrelenting. And her overall health suffered because of it, as well as having bad kidneys.
Right, because it starts to take a toll on other parts of the body as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we had hoped, we were trying to get her on the transplant list. And we got her started on dialysis early at 20%, which is, most people don't start quite that soon. But her health was so poor, we were hoping that the dialysis would make her feel better. It did not. And it put even more of a toll on her body. And she only lasted 9 months after that.
One of the things I was talking about with the folks from the PKD Foundation was this sense of guilt. Has that been experienced in your life or in your family's life on, we want to have children, we want to have a child to love and that, but there's the possibility, and I guess it's a pretty good possibility, of passing that down from generation to generation.
Yeah, there's absolutely. That the urge to have a child is primal, and not everyone has it, and that's absolutely fine too. But when it is hard to make that choice to know that this is something you could be giving to the person that you love most in the world. Absolutely devastating. So I know it was hard on my mom, and she absolutely carried around guilt with her. And I'm in this spot where I have not had my son tested. I made the choice to have one, you know, and rolled the dice because...
Right, I understand. I understand.
You know, it's tough. That was a gutting question.
Yeah. Does it affect one sex more than the other? Is there any studies out that show the... Because the only folks I know, you mentioned your uncle, mm-hmm. but all the ones I knew were all women that were affected by it. But I imagine that's not disproportionate.
I don't think so. I think it's pretty even. I did read at some point that it's harder on men, but I don't know. I don't remember if that was from a legitimate study or if that was just a thing that I read in a support group or... So I believe it's about 50-50 for.
So what are your feelings? How old is your son now?
He is 12.
What are your feelings now about getting him tested?
You know,
scary?
Yeah, scary. So I've been thinking about genetic testing, but there is a 15% false negative on that. The other testing is ultrasound. You just do an ultrasound to see if there's cysts on the kidney. So non-invasive, easy test to do. But if you do it too early, you might not find anything. So I think the general consensus, unless you have that burning desire and you absolutely have to know, is just to wait it out, to see, you know, have his blood work checked occasionally and make sure nothing's looking off there, making sure he's not having any visual symptoms like pain or blood in the urine, you know, things that we know, or we often get common UTIs. So to watch out for those things and just wait and see.
What is your current prognosis? What are they telling you about your situation?
So I am at 33% right now. And if my rate of decline continues where it is, I'm thinking by the end of 2024, I'm going to be eligible for the transplant list.
So that quickly, that's 15% drop in a year.
Yeah, I've been doing about 10 a year. So that's about a year and a half.
Have you been keeping up with the studies and the research? Like I said, I know there's no cure at this point, but... They are certainly working hard to find one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So even I have been participating in studies like as soon as I could. When I turned 18, I was part of a CRISP study, like one of the first major longitudinal studies about people with PKD. And that was in Emory University in Atlanta. And then I was part of CRISP-2, which continued that study. And I also... did almost 2 years on a medication that has since been canceled. Like it said, they did not have, it did not show that it was working, so they canceled the study. And at this point, so I decided a kind of newer treatment came out called tolvaptan, and it slows your progression by about 30%. So if you start it when you have 90% function left, it's going to have more of an impact. So I started it at about 40%. So it's going to be helping. It might give me an extra year, but it's not giving me 5 or 10 years because because it wasn't developed.
Wasn't available. The idea of a kidney transplant with the genetic makeup you have, does that predispose that any new kidney you'll get will also have the possibility of contracting PKD?
You know, that is an interesting question, and I believe that they do not.
So if someone donates a kidney, then you would be free of it?
Yes.
And pretty mm-hmm. much that's the only way now to be free of it?
Yep, that is the only way.
Mm-hmm. What, obviously this is not something that affects everybody. So those of us who are not affected by it, what what are some things that, that we could know? I mean, obviously, then contacting, say, the PKD Cure Foundation, that we could know that would help us understand and help us to empathize.
Yeah, you know, that's a really great question. I think it's another, like, it's a silent disease. One, it's not caught because visually you're not, nothing's necessarily wrong. So I look healthy, I appear healthy, but really it's quite exhausting. With the low function to keep up a normal day-to-day life. So I think with all, you know, with all health things, just if you know somebody, just listen and ask and see where they need help.
Well, I do want to tell everybody listening that Aileen did not seek me out for this. You weren't somebody who was like, I want to talk about this. I kind of sought you out. Mm-hmm. So I just want people to know that, you know, this is not a sympathetic thing from you. This is my wanting to have more knowledge and to educate the community about this. So
thank you.
I appreciate you being part of that.
Thank you. It's a very strange place to be in because I've realized that if I don't talk about it and if I don't make it a point to put it into conversations and talk about my health, then I might not find a kidney when it's my turn. And so this is a bit of a growth for me that I have to put myself out there. I have to get on the radio and share personal things.
Well, and it's one of those things, too. I don't think there aren't many people out there that want to talk about their health deficiencies.
Right.
I mean, you know, I've had some issues over time with my heart. I didn't want to talk about it. But mm-hmm. then after speaking with my doctor, realized, hey, you know, there might be somebody else that is feeling weird or feeling different. And they're just letting it go and they're not doing anything about it, you mm-hmm. know, which I did for a long time. And then all of a sudden you got to say, you know, maybe it's important to talk about this. And there may be people out there that we don't even know in our community that have this.
Absolutely.
The polycystic kidney disease, don't know it. Mm-hmm. They just know they have a lot of pain or they know they feel exhausted or they, like you said, had a urinary tract infections or stuff like that. And they don't know to get checked out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The number one thing I would recommend is pay attention to your blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure, don't put it off. I've met a handful of people, oh yeah, my doctor told me I had high blood pressure, but I'm not worried about it. Be worried about it. It's really important. It could be a symptom of an underlying cause like the polycystic kidney disease, or it just takes a toll on your whole body having high blood pressure. So
right. The high blood pressure is a symptom of something else. It could be multiple things.
Yes.
So make sure you get checked out. Well, that's mm-hmm. good advice, too. Aileen, thank you for coming in today. And again, we're going to have someone from the PKD Foundation probably in the next month to talk about a little bit more about some of the research that's going on in that. And hopefully we'll get some kind of sense that, you know, maybe we can cross our fingers and say a few prayers that that we'll have something down the road quickly.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, George.
Coming up next on Our Town, Bob Snedden will talk with Captain Kyle Kennedy. He's the Public Information Officer with the Oregon State Police.